Is Guardian Radio, your station for up-to-the-minute news and intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversations. 96.9 FM. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the views of the management and staff of Guardian Radio.
La 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 la. La 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 la. I represent Bahamian people. I from
Nassau, Bahamas, big up Baton Rouge. Boy, I from Baton Rouge.
Right between West and Augusta, where them two roads meet, they call it Wilkinson Street. Manners and respect was like a sign blank check. It seems the ones that come in after quick to disrespect. You see, this life in the ghetto never easy. So many hungry days break till it grieve me. Boy, I doing the best I can, trying to turn my dollar to $100,000. I represent the ghetto people. I from
Nassau, Bahamas, big up Baton Rouge. Boy, I from Baton Rouge.
Don't take no back talk, no bribe or no joke. If you find fire, you're definitely find smoke.
Baton Rouge, boy, I from Baton Rouge.
Baton, I say up and running. Caliban say my show, boy, don't ever give in.
Good night, Bahamas, and welcome again to another edition of Inside the Inner City. That is for men on Guardian Radio every Friday at 6:30 to 8 p.m., except holidays. Telephone numbers tonight are 323-6232, 325-4316, and 325-4259. And you can text us at 422-GR96. And also you can listen online to the show. And my name is Valentino O'Brien, a.k.a. Scoochie. Host of the talk show, like I said, Inside the Inner City. And the show is dedicated to informing the country, the nation, and the international world, some of our problems that we face in the country. They might be little, but they are really big problems in our country, and we need to fix them. And some of our problems have been sugar-coated for many years, and basically all the blame are put on at-risk youths and citizens in the country who, I would always say this, was deprived of the opportunity to really excel themselves in the country. And over the course of the last 50 years, the country has disintegrated into poverty, and people have lost their family values. And with that breakdown, it also take many of us away from God, the Creator. And in doing so, many of us don't have a connection with Him. And many of us who do say we have a connection with Him, we read the great book. In our DNA, we were embedded. So we don't even have to read the great book. It's something that was embedded in us. Also, people, kindness, caring, understanding, and we don't leave no one behind. A village mentality. And we have basically lost it. But there are some good families, there are some good people still around in many different agencies, in many different communities, in the churches as well. And we need to see how we can duplicate it. Means we have to see how we can admire those persons who are extraordinary citizens who were in the drunken group, like I said, whether it's a teacher, whether it's a parent, whether it's a community leader, whether it's a neighbor, whether it's a good person, somewhere around the community who people know and respect, we have to try find a way how we could duplicate that in the country, because a lot of people in this country, through the suffering and the poverty, has made people lost their way. And when people lost their way, they intend to make irrational decision. And if we look at our youth today, I didn't went to Jean Canoe, but an officer of mine who is a very decent officer, highly respected, Marco Gaudet, he was a part of the community that I reside in, and he frequents the community on a regular basis. That basically is my closest friend. You know, we be together, and he, you know, another officers, and other people, you know, view their take on the Jean Canoe Parade. And what they saw was a bunch of young females, teenage daughters. You can't tell no one how to dress, you know, because everyone has their way of doing things. You know, we say, you know, you can't tell me what to do, you know, and et cetera. And, you know, everyone has their own opinion. That might be true. But seeing it with my eyes and other people seeing it with their eyes on the way how many of our next generation of females were dressed downtown Bay Street, you know. Like I said, you know, they're beautiful already. You know, like I'm not judging. I'm just saying that if this is the maybe if this the direction that we're headed, then we have a long of soul searching to do. We also have a lot of education to do, a lot of ethics, a lot of family values we need to instill in our females. Mind you, they're beautiful, but to show your body like that, you know, you're showing all your breasts, you know, you're wearing these short, skimpy, whatever, tights, and, you know, you're showing all your private, you know, all your cheekbones and cheeks, you know, and all this stuff. You know, why you might look very, very beautiful, but eventually you're going to attract the wrong attention, and the person who really supposed to be there to love you, you know, wouldn't have a chance, because you attract so many different males, and many of the males you're going to attract is males who themselves are broken. And when they see you, they only see you as a piece of meat. Why is you looking at them and you're saying that, you know, you're going to swing? They're those guys. They have their plans for you. And, you know, eventually that beauty is going to go. And, you know, the guy who, you know, supposed to be there for you, you know. So, what I'm trying to say is that if you dress more appropriately, you would not attract negative guys, you know. Not to say I'm downgrading the young gentleman out there who would probably be seeking out you, you know. But at the same time, you know, you're sharing everything, so you're going to attract, you know, everyone's looking, so you're going to attract different spirits. And when you do that, you know, you open yourself to a lot of violent relationships, and you yourself over the course, he or she over the course of their relationships that would they be having with multiple person, they would carry attitude into that relationship, and eventually, you know, you find yourself always in a relationship looking for a new boyfriend or looking for a new girlfriend, and then you try, and then you start to not love no more, and then when someone who comes to love you, because you've been, your heart is being broken so much. Next person who's supposed to be there to come to help you right then and there, and to make sure that they could be there to mentor you, support you in whatever endures you doing in your life, help you, you know, get your driver's license, you know, help you get your passport, you know, ask you, you know, what you want to do in life. But there you have been in so many different relationships, you know, you take it for granted and then take it serious, and then eventually, you know, that would be the person right there who's supposed to be for you, but eventually they're going to leave after a while, and then they're not going to turn back. They're not going to come back to that individual, you know, because their love is gone. They might still care, but they're not going to care 100% that they care a year ago or 2 years ago. So I don't know what the parents are saying to their daughters, fathers, what you're saying to your daughter, you know. Like I said, you know, they have their own life. I'm not here to judge. I'm just giving an insight on what is going on in our country. And we need to address it because our dress code for our females is really vulgar, you know, very vulgar in the country. My friend, who, like I said, Marco, he was telling me one of the things they could do. You know, even though we're free Bahamas, we're a democracy, you know, people can do what they want. He said, you know, we should have a little regulation on what you could wear downtown, on et cetera. You know, we were having this discussion, you know, and not to invade no one's space or, you know, to say telling people what to do, but we need to just make an effort to see how we can change how our females dress in public and also how they dress in the church. You know, you look at some of the funerals, you know, man, the pastor could get an eye full. I know these pastors nowadays is be seeing all kind of red and pink panties. Yeah. Yeah, I can imagine, you know, because I've been to so many funerals, you know, and I ain't really stopped going to funerals because I've been to so many funerals. I must have been to a couple hundred funerals, you know. I'm going to my cousin Kevy's funeral tomorrow on St. Vincent Road. He's getting buried at 11, you know, so I go to funerals where people die of natural causes now, you know. It's hard for me to go to a funeral now where I know a young guy who was involved in. I'm not judging. You know, I just tired, man. I just tired of that, you know, going to the funeral and notice one get shot up, you know. So, yeah. So, I, you know, would slow down from going to funerals, but I'm going to Kevy's funeral tomorrow. He passed away from a massive heart attack. Also, the shoddy from the One Family Jungle Group, who also had a seizure, and he also passed away. Similar situation. So I'm encouraging persons out there to please live more eat more healthier. You know, stay away from some of that greasy food. Try see how you could put some fruits and vegetables in your diet that you eat. See if you could slow down eating so much red meat, especially the pig. I'm not judging on you could eat what you want to eat, but these things that, not the doctors said these things, but people, our ancestors, and it's in the Bible and tell you about certain meats and stuff like that. And if you look at the history of pig, pig is one of the most toxic meat out there. And, you know, we like our pork chops and, you know, our ham and et cetera, but we need to understand that those things are forbidden. And many people would say, well, the Father said that anything that he blesses is not unclean and et cetera and et cetera. But if you look at the studies about the pig and when you digest it, it takes days for it to digest. And the pig is the only animal that doesn't sweat. I mean, you know, so it eats anything, so. It'd have been a different if these pigs were running like how we have the swimming pigs. You could eat those pigs because those pigs eat healthy. I mean, I don't say you should eat. I'm not saying you should eat pig, but I mean, those that are more healthier because they swim in the salt water and they eat healthy. So I don't think they get no bacteria, et cetera, like they said that, you know, our harvest and pens and stuff like that, you know, get sick and then they put them out there inside the factory and they cut them up and they put it out there and we consume it. You know, there's other stuff like sweet, like sugar. So see how you could break down sugar as well, you know, because you could get clogged arteries from these things that we consume. So, yeah, a lot of people are just dying at a young age. 45 was Kevy. And then Shadi was must be around about 47 or 46. And both of them who resides in the community, and grandson, you know, just suddenly passed away unexpectedly. So I just want to encourage persons out there, the players, you know, try to eat healthy as possible, build up your immune system, use the moringa, use the mango leaf, which tastes very good, use the guava leaves, use the moringa leaves as well. You could make tea with those. You can get some pure honey, or you can get some agave, you know, with low consumption. And if you drink these teas without the sugar, over a course of a period with ginger and et cetera on a regular basis, you would see a decrease in your blood level. You would see a decrease in your physique, I mean, your size. You would even feel better because it detoxes you and it builds up the immune system to fight viruses. And remember, all diseases start from the stomach, okay? All diseases can be cured from the stomach. And the only way they can be cured is by your herbal remedy of the natural fruits and vegetables that are grown right in the Bahamas. We have all these things in your backyard that you could grow, you could pick, and use. One of the most strongest medicine out there is guava. I want you all to go on your phone and punch up guava and see how guava and moringa and ginger and cinnamon and garlic are very good for the human body, along with apples and orange and stuff like that. And then if you, like I said, you stop eating so much red meat and start to consume green products, along with your smoothies that you can do as well. Because smoothies are good because you can make mango smoothies, pineapple smoothies, and all of these stuff instead of you buying fruit juices that have a lot of sugar in it. And sugar is one of the number one killers out there in the health world. So I just want to say again, Kev is going down to tomorrow, St. Vincent Road Church, I think 10:30 to 11. And for many of y'all who live in the area of Lewis, Hay Street, and Taylor Street, who, you know, really don't have the transportation, they said two buses will be provided. But, you know, us as Bahamians, you know, he's from the community, and it's a little far away, miles and miles away from St. Vincent. So many people might not be able to make it. For those who can, the family really appreciate it. And they also apologize for any inconvenience that was caused to the residents of the community. But that was the only church available, according to the family, that was available to do Twin's funeral. So they had to take it there. And many people, you know, I think that many people will still go, you know, for those who cannot. Your prayers are more important than attendance, you know, because many of you wanted to come and many of you will come, but your prayers are even more important, you know. So thanks to everyone. And I just want to say that on behalf of the Woodside family. Okay, I also want to give a shout out to the four-time champs, the Cell Sharks and Superstars, and my boy Kalai, who resides on Lewis Street, who won Best Costume again. He won Best Costume last year, and he has won Best Costume this year. I also want to congratulate each and every participant of the Jungle Parade, and especially to the Saxons, who did a tremendous job on Bay Street. They won Fourth Street, which is very, very difficult. They have a lot of bragging rights. It's one of history. And again, to all the members, the cowbell shakers, the drum beaters, the dancers, the coronators, girls who were dancing, to the leader, Willa Percy Francis, and to Mr. Cartwright, who also was a part of the group, Hard Mode Car Wash. You know, you guys truly deserve all the bragging rights. You did a tremendous job. And yes, continue. I know the parties are going to be crazy in Mason. There's no one who's going to be able to talk to the Sox and Superstars. As for the second runners-up, Roots, Roots did a tremendous job. There was a surprise. I thought with the split up of the Wally boys that, you know, this would have paved the way for one family and Saxons to go at it. But boy, you know, I had the Saxons to be the top runners, you know, and hopefully with Split, with the Wally Boys, I say, and you know, the family could slip in. You know, I'm a family, but I'm also a junkanoo. I respect all the judges' decision. I'm not one to argue about junkanoo. I'm not one to argue with basketball. What I do is I look at the performance of the group, the Sox and the Wally Boys, the Roots, the One Family, the Genesis, and if they did their banner right, if they did their choreograph right, the girls did the choreograph right, if the drummers beat or a wonderful junkanoo beat that makes you dance and want to come with your pants, you know, I look at junkanoo like that. That's how I look at it, you know. I look at it like that, and the Roots, they did a wonderful job. They put everyone on their toes. So it's back to the drawing board for the One Family. It's back to the drawing board for the Wally Boys. I hope that the Wally Boys can settle their differences and try to come together as a strong group. Many people are saying that with the split between the Wally Boys is one of the reasons the Wally Boys, I think they came third twice on Bay Street. I'm not too sure. I think so. Any excuse people are saying that, you know, if we were together and we need to get our house in order, Sox and Mountain One, there's two parades, New Year's and Boxing Day, and there would have been a good competition form, but because of the split. So it makes a difference that major groups like the Valley and One Family really have to take a look at themselves internally, the members of the group themselves. I know my uncle Jeff, you know, he's a junkanoo just like me, and he would say, you know, they won, you know, because he don't cry with it. And sometimes, you know, we say we get cheap when we know we won, but, you know, the performance overall, everyone could agree who in the junkanoo world that the Saxons truly deserve it, that Roots deserved to be ground second runners up, and that Wally Boys deserve third, One Family deserve the fourth. Many would say this year, especially New Year's, the One Family organization said that, you know, they think they did better than what they did Boxing Day. But like I said, you know, they got too far, so it means that there was no improvements. Yeah, my music got to be a little sweeter, but the togetherness was not together on Bay Street. And I want people to understand this too. Sometimes the group is be too big. Sometimes it be disorganized. And I would like to say this. The music, how junkanoo used to be 30, 20 years ago, is completely different now. I can remember one time I would be nowhere on Bay Street. I would be anywhere from here to Wolf Road in that vicinity. And I could hear the junkanoo beat from where I was standing in any one of those areas. I could ask somebody, who you think that is? And people would say, well, that's the Saxons, or that's the Wally, you know. We have to see how we can be able to get the music back to how it was 20, 35 years ago. The little saw scraping, the little tambourine beating, the little small stuff that were instrumental in having the music with different elements, you know, the horns and et cetera, that guys would make certain cowbells, they would make, you know, the old way. We need to also introduce back in the junkanoo to make it more exciting, because there are kids growing up in the community now, and like they said, they're turning junkanoo into a business now, monetary. And if we could inspire them and show them some of the old things that people used to use back in the day, if we still have the knowledge, that would be great. Because besides the cowbells, the tum-tum, and all the fancy, you know, equipment, someone's back to Bay Street. And we also need to see how we can get the music to resonate in the front of the groups, because many of the girls who are doing the coronation dance, you know, they're doing the coronation dance and they're dancing up and down. They can't perform because they can't hear the music, okay? You can't dance unless you hear the music. So performing and hearing the music is very dreadful. So groups are going to have to find ways on how they can get their music together so the whole entire group can actually listen to the music. You know, but other than that, the Drunken Parade is our culture. And I hope that, you know, we continue to improve on our culture. So I wanted to say to everyone out there in the Drunken Group, you guys did a wonderful job. You know, you can't win all the parades, you know. Momentum sometimes is about everyone being as one. And when you don't have that, you could try everything, you know. Everyone have to be in sync. And I think that the valley was not in sync. I think the family was not in sync. And I think that they need to sit down during the course of the Saxons for parade events. And like I said, that give them groups, the valley, the one family. The roots into them, and they have to feel so bad. You know, but everyone else, like the third and fourth and fifth and sixth, they really right now are kind of a little disappointed. So this is going to motivate them now. So this is going to bring some togetherness now in the group, because the Saxons were able to win 2 years back when the one family won at 2 straight, and that motivated them. I can remember the chicken they had on Bay Street that they said the Saxons bring out their man. Now it's so jokey. Now they come back, share a costume from the one family, would just look like cardboard. So it's like momentum, you know? It's like momentum, you know? You need something to boost up. You know, when one family probably won those two, they got relaxed and, you know, you're going to do this again, you know? But it don't work like that, you know? You got to have momentum. You got to be in the sync. Same thing with Diwali. They need to get together as a whole group now and see how they compete. Make it very interesting, because it was a blow by the Saxons, these two parades are gone. But congratulate to each and every one who participated, because, like I said, it's our culture. Many people don't do it for the money. Many people just do it because they love to do it. But they also like the event, because it's bragging rights, you know? And it, like I said, it encourages you to go into next year with motivation. And Drunken Hoo is about encouragement and motivation, okay? So congratulations, everyone, again, to the Saxon Superstars, our car washing crew, Woolen crew. Congratulations on the job, Ellen. Okay. All right. So now that was just a little first part of the show. So the second part, we're going to get to the more interesting topics. We just had a new commissioner sworn in. I think it's Ms. Shantia Knowles. She has an extensive portfolio. I've been listening to many of the different departments that she was working in and in charge of. Has a lot of credentials, has a lot of experience, and I am very happy, not that she's a female commissioner, I'm happy that, you know, we were able to starting to mature as a country, that when you hold a certain position in the country, and if you are compromised and you the head, then you have to step down and replace it, you with somebody who they feel is capable of handling the task. So with all the credentials that Ms. Knowles have, which, like I said, and she is a female, I'm not saying female, because to me, she's a police. We could say the first female commissioner of police. We're breaking barriers and making history. Yes, we are. But at the end of the day, she is a police officer, and she is the police commissioner, and they've got to have to dress her as police commissioner. And in saying that, with all the credentials that she has, I have nothing against her. I feel that she's going to do a tremendous job. But the question needs to be asked. We are talking about credentials. We are talking about, you know, how many years she spent on the force. And this is not attack on her. I would like to know if these things really shows you the true colors of an individual. Because what we are looking for, we are not looking for a highly educated person or experienced person to hold these positions that we hold in the country. You know, that's all fine and done. It's about, do this person has integrity? If Ms. Shantia Knowles is ready to break the barrier by changing some stuff up in the Royal Bahamas Police Force that was claimed by residents for many, many years, But, you know, we only citizens and we ain't had the power to really make the change in the Royal Bahamas Police Force. All we can do is come on the airwaves and families who are being affected in the country would use the media and go on ZNS and, you know, advocate and say something isn't right and something is fishy, you know, being built enough for 20, 30 years. And different scenarios like that keep on pushing. That's how we start the, you know, these SIB investigation. We start to get, but it's a slow progress. And it's a slow progress. And what we're looking for now, and what the commissioner, the outgoing commissioner said, he said that, you know, corruption is embedded in the Royal Bahamas Police Force. So with Ms. Knowles coming in now, the question needs to be asked. I'm not saying that she doesn't have integrity. I'm not saying that she is not the person for the job. I'm saying if she's really, really willing to go to the extreme of pulling some serious, serious punches, because something is going to be done under her watch. She's going to do some things different and extraordinary to really convince the Bahamian people that she is the man for the job. Okay? Because many of us, you know, are really skeptical. One of the reasons we're saying that is because if you just listen to the commissioner, outgoing commissioner, he's gone now. When he was outgoing, when he made a speech to both John Canoe Parades, and then he kept his word on Johnson. And it states here that Johnson was picked up along with a lawyer, was picked up, arrested, and released, both him and the lawyer. And he also resigned from the force, even though he's a civil servant who have done over close to 40 years, which is one of the reasons why it's hard to get rid of senior civil servants in the country, because they work for the king. And, you know, it's a system that protects them. And many of our organization has those mechanisms in it. Same thing with the Royal Bahamas Police Force. That's why I'm saying Ms. Knowles is going to have to do extraordinary things and things differently, you know, because she is faced with a hard task. Because the outgoing commissioner, now we have a new commissioner, he stated that it's very hard to deal with these matters concerning police officers. So it ain't like you just go there and you could fire them, probably constable or something that you could fire, but a corporal who have done, or a senior corporal who have done over 30, 40 years, you know. It's very, very hard, you know, because they are government officials and public servants. And like I said, the system attacks them. You know, in some of these cases, the only person who can fire civil servants is the prime minister, the governor general, have to fire these individuals. Like on the Royal Bahamas Police Force, I think it's the, in certain incidents, I think it's the commissioner who has the power, along with the governor general and the prime minister when it comes to senior civil servants who do over 30, 40 years. See, so you see how hard it is to get an individual who could be corrupt and breaking the law for many years to get fired. So if we're looking for a swift justice, we're not going to see it, because it's a very difficult thing to do in the country. We're maturing now as a country, but it's very difficult. You know, so Ms. Knowles is going to have to do some extreme measures. A lot of officers are going to get mad at her. But also there are a lot of officers who don't like what was going on with the allegation against certain officers concerning the Royal Bahamas Police Force, because it makes them feel bad as officers as well, because they were not involved, you know. They might have heard a little sip, but they're not in the circle, you know, because the force is not just Johnson and et cetera, but we have a lot of bad apples in the force in different departments. But we also have a lot of good cops who was not in the circle, who were just law-abiding officers going about doing their job diligently, with integrity, and you know, they can't really interfere because they hold rank, and you're not politically inclined to any particular party. So it's very difficult for you as a good officer who comes on the force and means well, you know. So they don't want you in that circle. That's the said walk corrupt. But like I said, there's so many good officers on the force, but the bad said who are corrupt, who are now being exposed, you know, it gives us a distaste. But at the same time, you have to appreciate the Royal Bahamas Police Force, because just recently now you're seeing an increase in major drug busts in the country. Now, all of a sudden now, from this Johnson thing, and then Curtis, from Johnson to Curtis, and then the two senior officers, I think, on the family island, right, who got caught up in drug smuggling operation. We have not heard anything about that, but FBI agents had these officers in custody on one incident, and then the next incident, we saw on the news where the officer was saying that, you know, he was apprehended the drug smugglers, and we saw whether the Colombian or the Venezuelan guy said, no, you was the one who participate in the smuggling of drugs in the Bahamas. So what we are seeing right now is an increase in the Royal Bahamas Police Force, the Royal Bahamas Defense Force, and the Drug Enforcement Task Force, Tobacco and Firearms Unit, working hand-in-hand with the Bahamas government. And all of a sudden now we're seeing major drug busts, Acklands, and just recently in Freeport, $1.7 million. We're seeing the Bahamian Customs Department working along with the Royal Bahamas Police Force, which consists of the Drug Enforcement Unit, and also with the Tobacco and Firearms Unit from the United States of America. Now, think about this, Bahamian people. All of a sudden now, we wasn't hearing these big drug busts that happened in the country. You know, and to me, you know, I used to sell drugs, you know. I used to sell crack cocaine and marijuana, you know. So I thought the cocaine thing was died on in the country, you know, because you don't have really that much crack houses in the country no more besides specific areas. And this is my observation, you know. Richard, I'm totally wrong, because I'm looking in the inside of the community, but I'm not looking on the outside of the community, which is the ports and the airports and the boat ports and cruise ports and the airfields and stuff like that, because, you know, I can't see those things. But I had speculation that, you know, little it was getting like that, but I never know large volume, and we're using airports in the Bahamas, which certain officers who under the commissioner of police are in charge of these districts, you know, district superintendent, you call them ESP, they get a car, they get a police van, they're in charge of all of the precincts. So sometimes these officers are in charge of over close to 500 officers, right? And we're seeing where large drug busts are happening right now. And it seems to me now, unto the general public, that you're trying to tell me Royal Bahamas Police Force was running a major smuggling operation here in Nassau, Providence for many years. And that's what we're getting to find out now, because all of these drug busts starting to come into effect now. But what happened a couple months ago? You know, you see a little one here, but all of a sudden, every island plane crash, drugs get burned up, you know? So it seems to me certain organization fractions in the Royal Bahamas Police Force who are now being investigated, and there may be some others who was, to me, I feel like it's sad, you know, because we are all Bahamians, you know, and it's hard to see these officers who are Bahamians actually doing this stuff and making us look bad as Bahamians. And making us feel bad, because at the end of the day, a lot of us still don't want to see nothing happen to these officers, you know. We are still Bahamians, but we just understand that what they are doing is wrong, and we want to see some type of justice, because we're saying if it was our kids who are normal citizen, poor kids, or whole family don't have no say in the country, was involved in any one of these incidents, we would be lost in jail. We'd be persecuted by the courts with no mercy. So we don't hate the officers at all. We just know that they sometimes be so aggressive towards the citizen, and we have been saying for a long time that, you know, why you gotta curse me? Why you gotta beat me? Why you gotta put your gun on me and stuff like that? We all be, and like, you better than me. The uniform sometimes changes people. You know, that's the Roman imperialism comes in the effect that transcend and pass on to our officers. We all black, we living in the country, and yet still, when you inherit and you put on this uniform, you put on a Roman uniform that. Actually, it's the Roman system. So you inherit their ways. We run the British now. Now we get behemoth officers on the Royal Bahamas Police Force. We forget that the population of the Bahamas are our citizens as well. The people that you see, who you sometimes talk to on the streets, or sometimes you locked up on the streets, are behemoth just like you. I just want y'all to understand what I'm trying to say. Do you see how power can change individuals? And that's where the corruption comes in right there. We need to be more kinder to one another. You could be an officer, and citizens need to be kinder to the police. And we're going to have to do a reform to get ourselves back to a non-conflict zone. A lot of angry people, people who have a mindset not to do the right thing, because the poverty and with the non-guidance of a family structure, they made decisions from they were young, and they will continue to make bad decisions as they get older because they had no guidance, no opportunities. And now we have to fix it. And for us to fix it, we have to start from top and bottom at the same time. And what we want to do is to clean up our act and stop taking these positions that we hold, these MPs, these pastors. You know, we are all one day going to go in the grave. And our job on this earth is to see how we can live in harmony in this wonderful, wonderful Bahamas, and to see our kids grow up in harmony, see our grandmothers and fathers who served their time on this earth, that they one day could rest in their house, and when they pass on, that they have a wonderful family, and that they're buried properly, and all the loved ones are there for them. And we need to, once again, regain that identity that we have lost in the country. So I just want to talk again. Says, yeah, hey, Scrooge, it's a no-brainer. The police, herb and cocaine, Kilo indicates how the floodgate time is, bro. The cartel has gotten crazy with the Brana brothers, called the police force, but come, like, only the top brass, you know, like certain officers, are they talking with Sonny Miller, who I think he's saying is a good officer who was doing a good job on the force. And he say, thank God, Satan Fernando is gone, because he was blind. He was too blind. And like I said, you know, as a senior cop, I'm not saying the commissioner, former commissioner's involved. I'm saying that, you know, you could turn a blind eye because you don't want to offend nobody. And we, all of them probably know one another dirt. I don't know what kind of dirt, because the commissioner said it. You know, he said that there's embedded in the Royal Bahamas Police Force. You know, and he said that it's very difficult to deal with senior officers on the Royal Bahamas Police Force as well. So it goes to say that, you know, we have to be able to address these issues. And again, Ms. Knowles is going to have a very tough task. She's going to do things differently. And before I let the caller come on, they also mentioned that pending the investigation of Johnson, they said that other officers are also implicated. And it goes way deeper than the voice note. So if you're hearing this from the top brass, the former top brass, it shows you how far the corruption goes. And again, I'm saying this, there are decent police officers out there who are not in the circle. But because of the position of high-ranking officers, it overshadows those good, decent officers on the Royal Bahamas Police Force. I'm going to take this call here on Inside the Inner City. Go ahead, caller. You're on Inside the Inner City.
Hey, well, Happy New Year, Scrooge.
Hey, what's up, Grav? Happy New Day to you too, brother, and to your wife too, man.
Yeah. You know, you're correct. The majority of our police are hardworking and underpaid, in my opinion.
They are underpaid, Grav.
And I don't know why, when it happened or how it happened, but we need to have a serious campaign where the police become the citizens' friends again. It shouldn't be that the police, some police, treat you to where you don't like them. It should be where, if you're on the force, you have to be a personable person so that the people appreciate you.
Hmm.
In that case, they want to work with you. They want to help you find some of the problems instead of working against you. It seems like we're working on a culture of getting citizens against the police. And I don't know how we stop that.
Mm-hmm.
We need to have a serious review from the top go down. But it starts with treating them properly. You have to treat the police properly. And the armed forces, that's customs, prison, you know.
Yes, correct.
Defense force, it's a group. And stop disrespecting them. And I won't tell you what I see as disrespect. But if someone's been waiting a long time and has worked their way up and has successfully passed all of the hurdles, and then you do not promote them, instead you may promote somebody who's not at their level.
That's exactly what's happening in our country. Go ahead, Graham. Sorry for cutting in.
Yeah, that creates problems. So in an interest of time, we need to get people working together again. And I think this year we need to change the way we do politics. Because if you divide the people between two parties, if you divide the people between two junkanoo groups, if you divide the people between two different churches, if you divide the people between different schools, they could never come together and work together.
We are a divided nation. We are a nation, but we are divided by different denominations.
Yes, we intentionally divide the people right there from Sunday school. And so we need to bring the people back together. And I think that would be the good step in starting to fix the Bahamas. Anyway, I let you go. I'm going to give you a call. If you don't hear from me, give me a call this weekend, please.
Okay, Graham, you are supportive. Thank you very much. Thank you very much, Graham. Graham was also running for the Coalition of Independence. I think that, you know, we need people like Graham himself who is a dedicated citizen. See, Graham is not a PLP, he's not an FNM. I mean, he might be a Coalition of Independence now, but he still is a Bahamian who cares. And we need people like that because he makes a lot of sense and he gives a lot. He's been helping me for many, many years. He helps a lot of people in the community as well and the country as well. And we need people like that who have creative ideas, solutions, and are committed to excellent and want to see a better Bahamas for each and every one of us, you know. So tops up the ground, man. He always make good sense. And he talked about the fact that, you know, many officers served their time on the Royal Bahamas Police Force. And, you know, they go in different departments. And then only to see someone who's affiliated with either the party, both parties, to, you know, you don't do 20, 25 years. You're still a corporal. You bring this guy, you watch this guy, came in as a rookie cop in training. You train this guy, teach him how to be a police. You don't do 10, 15 years on the force. You train this guy, teach him how to be a police officer, how to be dedicated, how to have integrity, what decision to make, because you're the judge, jury, and the executioner. In certain circumstances, take you on this wing, teach you about the different departments, and you ask some questions, et cetera. You have the right, you know, you're reporting, et cetera. And you get to teach all this stuff, you know. And then only to see that you stay a sergeant, you go from corporal the next 10 years to sergeant, the same little young rookie guy who is affiliated with a particular group or has a family or particular power just rises above you. Now, he is your boss, but you outrank him. I mean, you outrank him in, yes, it's four score by seniority. So you don't do 30, 25, 30 years. This officer do 15, 16 years, and now he is your boss? Come on, man. Come on, that's crazy. And we need to stop giving them so much different position as deputy inspectors that Brian Cocky's supposed to be earning. I did this the most inspectors I've ever seen in the history of the Bahamas, Grom. And you know you're listening. Back in the day, inspector and crime sergeant and even corporal, those promotions were so important to police officers back in the day. Because, you know? So, yeah, we need to listen to some of the stuff that Grom said and what we're saying. Let me just read this comment, yeah? Okay. Okay. He said, yeah, Shruji, I was saying in short that the price cocaine per kilo is an indicator of how much drugs is on the streets. That's true. Divide and fool is the game. Ignorance is to blame. Corruption is big business in government, especially the police. I tell champs need to go on their hands to look at what happened in Auckland. Yeah, like, you know, somebody else had me mention, say, good evening. I am so proud of you for addressing the way the young girls dressed today. They wear too much short clothes. All their bottoms are out. Their breasts are out. No decent young man will take them home to meet their parents. There is no need to show everything. It is terrible. Keep speaking, yo. Yes, and it's true, you know. The pastors need to speak out, you know. The pastors let young females come to the church, okay? This the word. This the church of God. And this is what Graham talking about, divide, and we're supposed to be praying to one God. And this church is Anglican, this one is Baptist, and they don't get along. And we say we're supposed to be praising God, not Jesus, God. Because Christ told you to serve God. God, I'm coming right now. And you're going to allow girls to come in the church with these dresses so short. So I guess the pastors, to tell you the truth, they just want to see what the girls got to offer. Because as a pastor and deacons in the church, the first thing I do, dress attirely when you come in the church. Make sure your dress is above your knee and your panty line ain't showing and all your breasts ain't off. Because the church is a freak show now. Because I ain't going to lie, some of these girls, when you're sitting down in the church, you'd catch a stiffy in the church. I mean, you're in the church. And these girls will try to get you stiffy what they wearing because you can't believe they coming in like I say, you're causing everyone to notice. See? You know, I might not notice you if you dress nice and neat and you're ensuring all your panty line, you're ensuring all your front, you're ensuring all your cheek, you know, because now I say, wow, the girl dressed nice. Hey, we'd say, boy, she dressed nice. We wouldn't know how to approach you. We'd have to be a gentleman to approach you because you say, boy, you see that? We see how she dressing? Huh? You can't go on that girl. You see how she dressed? Yeah, well, you see that one coming up? Boy, all of us? Boy, that's what we say. Boy, she look good. Boy, I don't mind putting someone up. I say, but 10 guys and see a girl who we're not interested in a dress, we are not be interested in a nice dress. You know, if she look nice, he said, boy, she nice. We'd be afraid, like, to approach her because we know we got to approach her in a particular way. Now, if that girl right there change her outfit and then she has done a stout or a solid girl, and she go and she put on nice, she going to put on a short dress, pass her thing up and all that thing up. All of us, they want that. Me are not interested in this female. The only thing we're interested in is we want to hit that. And that's why it's important on how you dress females. Because you're going to attract someone who wanted attention who are not going to mean you no good. And parents, some of y'all got to speak up. I mean, you're afraid. Some parents are afraid to talk to their children. You can't let your daughter go like that. Fathers, don't let your daughters go like that, man. We as a country, we have laws and morals. Man, you need to see what the girls were wearing. I telling you, they were naked. See-through, where you could see. I mean, they wearing see-through. See-through, where I mean. And they wearing G-string with the see-through. What the hell? So if you walk, if I ain't a rapist, and me and my boys, they're drunk, and we don't have that, and we see you, I'm just saying, they saying this was back in the day, this how it was. We could, you know, and then, like,
escalating us or something, we don't control our friends, and what caused it?
Way you dress.
Go ahead, caller. You're on Inside the Inner City on Guardian Radio.
Hey, Scrooge.
Hey, good night.
Happy New Year, my brother.
To you too as well.
All
right, huh? No, they said to you too as well, sir.
Yes, to you and your family. And, you know, before I ask you about Auckland, I think what the pastors need to do is stay strong in the word. I know the human being. And I know what you're describing. It might be hard to just look at that and be a man and just walk away. Even me who blind. If I braille them, I might think about it too.
Yes, sir.
But you got to be strong and you got to pray.
Yes.
And let God deal with them. If they ain't get no respect, how they come into the place like that. I don't know if they tell you, think when you look at them, although they look good, look at them as germs and sickness.
Mm.
You know? Because the way they dress and everybody must want a piece of it. Or they either selling or something. Another thing we must keep in mind, the people say we can't tell them what to wear. Not everybody dressed like that mean that they're sluts or they're doing something bad. Some people just do what they want to do.
Mm-hmm.
But you got to have respect for God's place, although some of the people in the place don't even have respect for it. Some of the pastors them might be falling down. But you got to have some kind of respect. And if I was a pastor, blind or could see, I got to keep praying. I got to ask God to give me the strength. You understand?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Them is a bunch of germs spreading around. That's all it is. You know?
Yes.
What happened in Auckland, sir?
That's where the drugs was found. And then,
again?
Yeah.
You mean different from Sonny Miller?
I think that's what they think of Sonny Miller right there.
Oh, that's from a long time?
Yeah.
Because I hear them say they find some other drugs the other day in a plane.
Yeah, with the crash.
That's a different thing, right?
Yeah, there's a couple of them, and one in Freeport day before yesterday. So it seems to me in the DEA, the Bahamas government.
They read on everybody. And the guys, they're still doing what they're doing, and they know the DEA what. But then that's what the guy, the whistleblower, is saying.
Yes, so that means the DEA from the United States of America is working closely with the information that they receive, and they're giving direct instructions to the Royal Bahamas Police Force. They're doing this undercover. This is what's going on right now. So I think all this commissioner getting sworn in and all this, they was handpicked by the DEA and et cetera to make sure that certain officers go, because like I said, you can't do fire certain people in government. It takes the governor general, the prime minister, and somebody else to get those persons to go. Go ahead, Papa.
So that wasn't the commissioner who fired that one who they say indicted, who they have in the state over there, Curtis?
I know. I mean, to tell you the truth, they could have forced him to resign.
Someone to fire him. I was wondering why it's taking so long. I was wondering why the commissioner...
Because it's hard.
Why he didn't fire Johnson.
Because it's hard. It's hard. Go check it up. Go see who could fire them. So it probably the prime minister.
I listen to what you're saying. I learned it, brother.
Yes, it's probably the prime minister and probably the governor general and the advice of the prime minister and stuff like that. They're doing it undercover. That's the only way these people could go. You know what the commissioner said? He said that it's hard to deal with senior cops.
So you mean Brave Davis could have fired Michael Johnson in 7 months he'd been holding on for answer?
Well, you know, I'd go. Those guys are, all governments, right, are afraid of the police force because, you know, the first person in the world is the armed forces. And they don't want to offend them. That's
but
why they was
like
getting
Michael Johnson embarrassed the police force.
Yes. So that's what has to happen.
Some good officers,
yes. That's what has to happen in order for us to curb the problem that is facing on the Royal Bahamas Police to the corruption. But because governments came in, see, remember when they, let me just give you a quick rundown and show you guys piggyback on what they say. Mm-hmm. Outgoing commissioner, Clayton Fernandez, he stated that he wants to question the former prime minister, Menace. He wants to question the former minister of national security, and he wants the former question commissioner of Lee's Paul Road, right? And you see, when he said those things, Menace responded and said that he got information. The commissioner was saying that he wanted to find out if the minister administration had any information from the U.S. government concerning the corruption on the Royal Bahamas Police Force and Defense Force. And Menace responded that that's why he put certain people on leave. So in between that, we have two government...
The commissioner resigned. I mean, who gone home today? He's one of them who the former prime minister put on leave.
He
should have go to the people who send the indictment over here and go sit down with them and give them as much information as possible.
Okay, so that's why you give them godly. So if you pick up between the line, right, what Menace was saying... But he didn't go in full detail because he really couldn't do nothing with the senior cops because he didn't want to offend them because we offend them and the general election comes up, the force against him. Once the force will go against you, right?
Uh-huh.
He feel you could lose the general election. Remember, you always talk about who votes for us, not the general public, you know. You know, civil servants, Ministry of Ed, Customs, Immigration, the Police and Defense Force vote before we even vote. You know that?
Yeah.
Why?
So you don't offend them, but you clean them out when you get a chance.
There you go.
So you don't have to depend on those corrupt officers.
So corruption had to go overseas in order for Johnson to get locked up overseas. Was the only way we're going to be able to, was exposed. Even though me and you know some of the stuff, but we didn't have the cause.
You was locked up before, right, Scrooge?
Me?
In the past.
Me? If I was locked up?
Yeah, just, I mean, questioned or arrested before, right?
Why I been locked up, must he? But why I ask you that, right,
is because what they mean the other day, when he just letting us know the other day, right, yeah. When he's leaving, Commissioner, that Johnson and the lawyer was questioned. I want to know when he said, he's saying question arrested or what, would they charge or the investigation still going on?
Well, listen to me. They have certain, they're different than me and you. I understand. You remember when Bradley Roberts was also going through the same similar?
Yes.
Remember? Then we had other MP just recently. Mm-hmm. Okay. See, because they're civil servants, they are treated differently. Differently. And that's
so
what
you, you're okay with them investigating themselves?
Well, damn, no choice now.
No, man. So okay, if you I don't agree, right?
No.
If you feel that way, right? You don't agree with us bringing external forces in to help with the police force.
I'm all for that.
Okay. I know that some people have a problem with it, but I think that's the only way to get officers them, or the officers who mightn't be corrupt.
Yeah.
But speak of the things against things they know. They was never going to do that with the commissioner of police.
Yes. You know something? You know why the DEA, the Drug Enforcement Department over here is different than the Royal Bombers Police? People don't notice, no. The DEA, the Drug Enforcement Unit over here has actually worked closely with the Drug Enforcement Unit in the United States of America. You know the DEA, the Drug Enforcement Unit over here is completely a different organization than the Royal Bombers Police Force. Y'all don't know that? You know those officers are handpicked? Abraham and all. You know that? That's what I see. People need to understand these things. That's why you can't really find no corruption. There are some in their department.
I think it's all about friends, family, and love.
Yes.
Friends, family, and lovers, and like how you talk with the khaki suit.
Yeah.
That's the problem with my new day government with Brave Davis them.
Too
they try to cater to everybody.
Can't do it. You grew
despite
up.
They know these people ain't qualified the position, and you go get them the position, they don't want to take responsibility when they mess up.
That's right.
That's the thing with my new day government and some of these people in position in the country.
That's
but I listen to Brave Davis today, you know.
And what do
you
say?
But I can't tell you exactly, but I can paraphrase it. He sound like he's faking, boy.
What is that?
He's pump faking. You know pump fake?
Yeah, like.
Like he's faking, like he's just saying things to make us, like, what do you think we want here?
Yeah, because.
Yeah. I listen to him carefully. He can't be serious. The things what he's telling the people on the force today, before he start talking good, but exemplary and Fernandez, this and Fernandez. I forget to tell you, the person where they say Satan Fernando, I like that one. Satan Fernando, I like that. He's a disappointment. We need to get shoot the other day years ago. We were so sorry for him. We didn't even like our minister and let him go, but now we know why ministers let some of them go.
Yeah, I see you got to read between the lines.
He was a shameless commissioner. I don't know all the commissioners that well, right? But he turned out to be one of the worst we ever. I feel bad for him today, you know. I was ashamed. They say Ma was there, Dred. I was ashamed for him. He say he hold his head up and high, leave the force with his head up. That's a bunch of foolishness. You don't have to be a rocket scientist, even a blind man.
It's lies.
He say he lived with his hair. Huh?
You can't leave with your hair.
Maybe he didn't know. But I think I feel shame for him, even if he ain't shame for himself.
How good
he's
to
a
live.
Big embarrassment.
See, the party is protecting him. Brave Davis is trying to compliment a man who has failed miserably.
That's why I tell you, Pumphrey, he's Brave Davis.
He has failed.
I know Brave Davis, how people write things down for him, right?
Yeah.
But him reading that today.
See?
I know that's hurting him. But
you know why our country's going wrong? Because of our leaders, stay fit or address when someone is wrong. They are never going
to. Yes, they're wrong position and they won't take responsibility.
Oh,
he's
good.
The prime minister and he won't fire no one. He get all of these people around him doing all kind of foolishness. I talk about the Americans and say they have indictments.
Call it coming right now.
Saying high political official. And he ain't coming back to us and saying, well, you know, I'm waking up, I'm trying to get a name. He making us feel like they talking about him. The prime minister is possibly could be him. They talking about
boy, you won't be surprised.
That, but I'm just saying,
yes.
When they don't put their foot down and do what they need to do on time, they leave for speculation for us to be thinking all kind of.
And
things.
Our speculation is completely right. You know, like 52 and everyone had the speculation of COVID-19, what's going on in the country. We didn't believe.
Yes.
You know, you see now he proved the whole world. I was supporting them too. I was supporting my ideology too. You know?
So tell me something, Scrooge. All these things, you know, but crime and stuff like that. I listen to Steve McKinney. Steve was saying, I think you're cool with him, you know, but Steve, you know.
Yeah, I score on his show.
Yes, sir. And he was mentioning with how Prime Minister Davis spending $70-something million a year, not for 5 years. Every year he'd been spending 70 on consultant, international and locally. Scrooge, are you one of the consultants locally?
Consultant what?
To help with crime and different things.
Man.
As a behemoth who know what time it is, who could give the police force a solution, who could help weed out the corruption.
I ain't a PLP, not half and so.
But you didn't have to be, listen to me, my point is that.
There you go. I could be one of the best men to give some insight on the prison and what needs to happen.
Yes.
Yeah, I'm one of the most experienced
person.
Here.
What brave David is doing is wrong. He's looking out for your friends, your family, and your loved ones. Watch people suffering. Like Steve was saying, look, a great commissioner lying to people with his people get hungry. And Green Davis get time to take our darn money and be giving it to his friends, family, and lovers. Look at them consulting. What are we getting for it? What benefit spending 70 million? What are the behemoth people getting back for that? He say he's doing it for all that traveling thing, what he been doing, right?
Yeah.
How that benefit us? But Green Davis, like Hubert Ingham said before, it should be more than just woking these niggas up. Listen to me, Scrooge, you know what? It's a serious thing. I hope you understand me. This intentional what brave them doing that, yeah? I don't think they really like us behaving people.
Mm.
And they're talking about they want a next time to finish what they couldn't finish. They have enough time to do it.
Oh.
And I wouldn't be fooled to give them a next time when they could have do what they want to do right now. They just, I don't want to use the word lying. They pump faking with us. They straight. They don't need 2 terms to get what they need to do. They diss the behaving people. And if we like bad, but we need to show them better than we can tell them, yeah? Show them bad better than what we can tell them. That was embarrassing today, Fernando. It's a big disgrace, brother. It's a big disgrace. You embarrass your family, the country, and everything today. You're going down in shame, not flames. You're going down in shame, or like a rushing on the fourth. They sitting on, and he takes so long to fire. Even he fired a guy, he let the nigga, excuse me, he passing his resignation. Keep up the good work, Scrooge. Happy New Year again, brother.
Thank you very much. You know, you got to give his opinion. You know, people are hot. And call that company right now. You can come. Get there. Company right now, call her. I just want to say this real quick so I can get the next caller on because, you know, I really want to let them up there say, I just like to say this. If that was said by the Prime Minister and he said that, you know, Fernandez served on the force, extreme dignity, what we fail to understand, we're not telling the full truth. If you are the Commissioner of Police and you have numerous officers charged with serious offenses internationally, here, locally, now we're here in parts and the police plane and Fence Force boat being involved in drug smuggling. That is under the Commissioner of Police watch. And how is it that the Prime Minister can say that these are the faults that is going to cost the government? Besides them doing great as investment and doing some great projects in Abaco, in Exuma, in Cat Island, some great projects here in National Providence. They've been in airports and et cetera, clinics and et cetera. They're doing great, you know. Tourist booming, 9.7 million tourists, and et cetera. They're doing some tremendously good things, but these small things, like this, that are big things, and he is not addressing them, then you're hiding wrongness just to please our outgoing Commissioner of Police, who, like the caller stated, has failed to be him in public. It's out of disgrace. And, you know, he served his time and he got his pension. And came back, you know, like I said, it's not about us attacking him. It's the fact about what happened on his portfolio. And we know as behemoths, we read through the lying, and we see they're lying to us, and they continue to lie to us. And we know they're lying. They say they're lying, right? But yet still they want to defend their lying and expect for us as citizens to just sit back and take it. And we know you're lying. And we know... Like the caller stated, we speculate, and our speculation is actually true. Go ahead, caller. You're on Inside Inner City.
A golly day to this dark in a way, along with you, Scrooge, and the Lewis Street, Market Street, you know, crew. That area, anyhow, Baintown, you know, a golly day to you all.
Yes.
But Scrooge, you know, the thing is, right, when it comes to the police, hello?
Go ahead, I'm listening.
When it comes to the police, as far as the sergeant, the government are responsible for, when I say the government, the people, okay? when they go over a sergeant, the sergeants, you know, the inspectors and stuff like that.
Civil servants.
Higher up.
Civil servants.
The government. When I say the government itself controls that within themselves. If you see what I'm saying.
Yes, sir.
See, the minister of what you call it, Wayne. He's not responsible for those ones. You know, he's responsible for the sergeant and stuff.
The SP and the sergeant.
What higher? The government, the general government, responsible for them. So they all know what's happening, the date, what's happening. You see what I'm saying? They know about the date. But the thing is, nobody cares. And, you know, anything they could get away with, man, you'll be surprised to hear some things with some of those guys, the centralists, tell me when I call.
Mm-hmm.
They just be joking, man. They just be joking big time. They ain't even in business being police. And, you know, they think the Bahamian people stupid and they're getting all of our money. You see what I'm saying?
Yes, sir.
They man, hey, something got to give. Something got to give. Because they are joking and we not stupid. And a lot of us ain't gonna put up with that foolishness.
No more.
That's why if they continue this foolishness, nobody gonna vote them in. You see what I'm saying?
Yes.
I mean, you got some immature people who vote them in, but the good of the for the Bahamas will not happen. You see what I'm saying?
Yes, sir.
That need to be fixed, and our people generally have to wake up, open their eyes, and see what's happening. So they could govern themselves accordingly.
Yes.
You see what I'm saying?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Scooch.
Yes, sir.
Give my regards to the Lewis Street people, Market Street, you know what I'm saying? They ain't that.
Yes, I do that for you right now.
Hey, we love them, man.
Okay.
They are.
Okay. Thank you, Brayman. We want to give a shout-out from Brayman. He wants to say Happy New Year to each and every one of you in that particular area of Bayntown, Grandstand, Lewis Street, H Street, Taylor Street, Finneson Street, C.B. Moss constituency of C.B. Moss constituency of Augusta Street, and also well wishes to C.B. Moss. Hope he continues to get strong and healthy. And we're gonna take this next call. Red caller.
Yeah, blessed New Year, school.
Hey, man. We say 52.
Give thanks, you know. Respect mutually, you know.
Yes.
The airwaves is mostly their waves. You know what I mean? So I like to listen to Graham, and so I was wondering, and I listened to Graham with an implementation of giving the police monetary benefits for certain procedures that they would carry out to incentivize them, right?
Yes.
And then I always just wonder, like, you know, we just hear and we just get ideas from one another, right, on the airwaves, and so some people take it personal or whatever, right? And I was wondering why that hasn't been done to incentivize traffic. And, you know, one thing leads to another. A traffic stop could lead to all kinds of different things. You know what I'm saying, Scoozy?
Yes, sir.
Because at my age, if I need to ride around in traffic, you know what I'm saying? I don't know what's going on, but I'm saying we need to count the good apples because I was carrying something for my children the other day, and I was on a roadblock. I came upon a roadblock, and, you know, some fellas, they're moving around so dirty, they always trembling in the front of you. So an officer said to come on down. I scoot on the window, and, you know, I didn't have my driver's license on me. So it was my daughter's car, and I didn't even check to see what is in the glove compartment and all that. So I didn't have my driver's license on me, so we got in a little. One of the other officers was, you know, they always want to be belligerent. Something when they put on this uniform, it's like a Gideon suit to them, and a khaki suit, you know, the song name. But they sing the reggae song. That's what it is like to them. And they put on this Gideon suit, right, Scoozy?
Yes, sir.
They transform mentally or something, even like, you know, your friend who you went to school with or whatever, or sometimes an officer.
They transform. They
you know, for me, was a junior, and then you see him with a brown khaki suit on, right?
He ain't see you no more.
He become ionized.
He
like,
say, school, but I know you, I can't help you.
No, but I mean, like,
go
yeah,
ahead.
I understand that, Scoozy. Me and you be talking from a street perspective, but they become, like they want you to see them, you know, my brother. And they want to exude this power.
Yep.
This is the psyche within the Negro mind that's really distasteful
yes.
to me as a citizen. You know, it's all about, it's a time to exude power when it's time. But I like how you explain the scenario that the civilian encounters versus their status quo encounters, right? And their status quo narratives. That is basically what I mean, initially been in your monologue at the beginning of the show, what it's meaning, status quo narratives. They will always uphold status quo narratives. They don't see one another as doing wrong. And so it was a public photographic psyop gas lighting program, I guess the PM was dealing with, as it relates to
gas light. What do you mean, gas light?
It's photo ops, man. It's a psyops, right?
You make me laugh.
No, but I mean, listen.
I already got off. I'll go ahead, man. 52 by me, man.
I gotta say something to you off here, but you know, but say your boy Pumpkin say you like that one, eh? But anyhow, I like to listen to Pumpkin, you know. But the thing is,
that's Pumpkin. Okay.
That's Pumpkin, right? That's Papa, man.
Okay.
The blind one, right?
Yeah, that's blind one. Way bigger than
that. And so, you know, Papa, like at my age, as we get older, we become more spiritual, right?
Mm-hmm.
But I didn't remember, I think Lang was talking about the intricacies of the procedures of how to fire an officer above inspector. But I was in and out of this.
Mm-hmm.
But I think, I can't remember, I can't quote him, but I think it goes to the Governor General. And
Governor General is the Prime Minister.
But then Lang, in his experience, also said it entails the Cabinet.
So yes.
The PM,
yes.
I don't know if the PM makes a decision by himself, but it's, I can't remember it like that.
Yes.
That's why it's good to listen to
Lang. I know these things. I know these things personally because I've been involved with a political party and I studied these things. That's why I can give the general
public. Yeah, but you know I listen to you, man.
Yes, sir.
You know?
Yes, sir.
See, you like me. You ain't get talk with something if you don't know nothing about it.
You see?
And so, like I said, you know, I appreciate the platform and,
yes, sir.
And promoting the inner city, right, Scoozy? But
yeah.
We have to be real and keep our encounters,
yes,
and show the injustices, right? But Scoozy, but you know and I know that even within the inner city, if people come out and talk, it will be an abundance of injustices
corruption.
That people don't believe that's going on.
Yes.
And the power that these guys exude, you know, and they all, I mean...
That's why we need stronger communities.
I got to pick up this officer on the roadblock. It's a young officer because... They sensible, and so there was one who, you know, he dressed up like the cyborg them with the vest, and you know they,
yeah,
everything is a psych to them, you know. These guys really don't understand psych, you know. They get you to join the war and do anything. But anyhow, the gentleman said, "But you could take a picture." I said that because I spoke with Seattle on this before. I said, "Man, you could just run my name and my date of birth and just document or authenticate what I'm saying to you, and then you could see that my driver's license is good, expires in 2027 in August or whatever, right?" So he said, "We don't have the technology." I said, "What do you mean you don't have the technology?" But then we got into a little word thing, and then he asked me why he's so upset. I said, "I was rushing to try something to my children." So he said, you could take a picture of the driver's license and put it in your phone because I don't like to move around in case I lost it. But I said, that's a good idea. And they dap him and wait. So I did appreciate something like that. Do you know what I mean?
Yes,
it doesn't have to all be, you understand me?
Yes. Like, he was being a very good officer.
That's what I appreciate you expounding on. At the beginning of your show, to humanize the situation.
Yes.
They catch people with drugs, but when they get catch with something, it's something different. It's allegedly everything. They give a ledger straight into hell, man. That's just like Wi-Fi. They can Wi-Fi us to death because we always exposed to this electromagnetic chaos that we know nothing about. It's like the devil, the world, will sell you a dream and you'll find out the consequences later. You remember me and saying that during the pandemic and talking massaging them? And then the world is based on ignorance.
Mm-hmm.
That's what makes the economy thrive. You know, the ignorance of something makes money for somebody else.
Mm-hmm.
Until you find out that this product contained this and contained that. You don't even believe that. It, you know, like, let's say, for example, they knew for a while that cancer viruses survive pasteurization.
Mm-hmm.
But yet still the public, they're not told that. So it's a lot of things that your mind, just through reading, I thank God for just this knowledge and without a college and, you know, just express myself to the human beings in this human journey that is very finite. You see, I say, my brother?
Yes, sir.
And I listen to people like Lang. Lang is pretty brave. He came on the air. He talked about his prostate problem, right? So in that, you'll be able to help. Excuse me, the pain what I've been through, he might have had something different from me, but I had BPH.
Mm.
The pain that I encountered and the human, from a patient's perspective, it needs to be expressed because I wouldn't like for a lot of young men to go through these things when they could avoid it,
mm-hmm,
and just sit down and listen and spread this news. But bless up still, brother. Keep
man.
Give
thank
thanks.
You, man.
Appreciate it.
Yes, man. 50 years of jam, man. You was outspoken to the nation and to the world, and you spoke on the COVID-19, and you said it was like the flu, and you said that, you know, whatever you said was the truth, sir. And, you know, you speak on some other matters. You know, I was there supporting you as well because I felt the same way as you. I haven't been in a college, but you were highly educated just like you being in college. So that knowledge you have just passed with discreet knowledge, that suppresses that college knowledge because you have the degree on the streets and you have a degree where you study them and you listen to the doctors and read books and stuff like that over the course of the year, and you hear the talk show, and you hear, or you watch flicks on TV, and you will start as your college. All that information gathered together is giving you a college degree, which you never sit down in college. That's how I get my experience right there, being around people from different walks of life, looking at it, and I could analyze it and say this A and this B. You know, like how I could predict and say certain things about the criminal aspect, when they could say, you know, that little girl, if check the background, the person who was going to be involved with that, if the police did the right DNA testing, they had found that person is the person either mentally ill or it's the person who is in and out of prison. Because there are a lot of people in prison right now, according to the new Commodore, Commissioner of the prison, Mr. John Clare, states that there are a lot of mental health patients in the Bahamas Correctional, right, Institute, okay? So that means they're going to be right back on the streets again. And I also say that we have serial killers. Remember a few weeks ago I said we had serial killers in the country? Now we get to find the guy who was involved with the murder of the 12-year-old. Come right now, caller. The 12-year-old is not only a mental health person, but a person who's a serial killer, who have killed from 2000 and when. And now we are finding out that he's responsible based on the DNA testing and plus the cameras that were available in that particular community. It goes to show you how we are recycling our prison. Let me just say this to you. Do you all know that the earth was a prison for the angels who disobeyed and the watchers who disobeyed God? Do you know that prison is hell, and that on this earth, prison is hell, and those who go into that prison who don't be rehabilitated, and those who are in there because of our bungalows for the last 50, 60 years of not providing these individuals with proper education, and we cause them to live a life of undesirable misery and poverty, and then we cause them to be crime, because them become criminals, and then some who are naturally sexual predators because they were abused, and then some who just are insane, just naturally insane. They don't care how good the country was or how good the education system was or whatever it is. Some people are just pure evil. You understand? Some are just pure evil. And so, like I said, we have a caller? Okay, caller. Go in line, caller. You're on inside in the city.
Yeah. Scooch.
Hey.
Hey, call back. You know, Naya and Zoe's, right? Got to stop breaking open my house and carrying my clothes and shoes and stuff, man. You know, blankets and stuff. There's be joking around here, man. And then if you go do them something, then you get locked up, okay? And the police don't check for them when they move your clothes and you when they pick your lock, you know, crack your lock and take out your stuff out your place. And he got easy for that foolishness, you see? He's there on the southern side of the Chinese,
uh-huh,
carrying on like he is all of that, and pimping people's clothes and shoes. He's joking.
Mm-hmm.
See?
Yeah, he just come out of jail right the other day for breaking in the church, I think.
I know, yeah.
That's my boy. I see him walking the street, so I'm going to talk to him.
He's joking, man. He's
yeah, I'm going
to touch him up a bit, right? he should be, you know, cracking people's lock, at least my lock, and carrying my stuff, because he don't always get my stuff.
Yeah,
even my blankets.
Man, that's the...
He be joking, man.
I could talk to him, and I see him.
Thank you.
I probably see him early in the morning. Okay. Thank you for calling. 52 gave his assessment. You know, many callers gave their assessment, and the callers did a wonderful, wonderful job here tonight on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. We talked about the police. You know, we talked about the struggles. We talked about the good officers who have been denied the opportunity to really flourish on the Royal Bahamas Police Force because they're not politically connected. And there's a moral on the force. We also have a lot of corruption on the force. Was stated, many people know, the caller was talking about when Clayton Fernando when Clayton Fernando was passing the rem over to Shantia Knowles, and that the Prime Minister spoke, I just want the Prime Minister to know something. Mr. Prime Minister, I feel that you're doing a good job. Like I say, listen to me, general public. I feel that you're doing a good job of not trying to increase so much taxes on the people, even though you're still increasing taxes on the people. I feel that you're doing good with the international community. You know, you're traveling a lot. You could use some money to really invest in the crime, but I understand that you're a prime minister. Many people would say, but why the prime minister's flying? He don't need to travel. We talk about the expenditure of a prime minister traveling. Do you all know that the prime minister would be invited to all kind of functions all around the world because he's the head of state? I'm not saying this as an excuse. I'm just letting you all know that he has to go, regardless. I mean, it might not be important. We want him to focus more on things that he needs to deal here. But this is a portfolio where he can't even decline because he himself is getting this information from the permanent secretary and stuff like that. And this liaison who was telling them, you know, we got a meeting with the CARICOM, we got a meet with the prince of the king of England, the Saudi Arabia, Tingham needs to meet with you. I know these things ain't so important to us, and we're saying that, you know, you're spending millions on traveling and et cetera, and using the Bahamian taxpayers and et cetera, and et cetera, and et cetera. We are right for saying that, but we also got to remember, you know, he has to travel. And that's the thing. That's why he can't deal with the nation's problem. See, the prime minister is too overburdened with too much different trips, programs, development, investment. Then you have to deal with the crime and the police. Then you have to deal with the unions. Then you have to deal with this. I know he has a government. But he himself is distracted. He's trying his best, boy. But I know, like I said, you're doing a good job as a prime minister, but you fail on many different issues concerning the Bahamian people. And I think that if you don't recover, and it seems like you're not recovering because you're defending the outgoing commissioner of police, when he himself has actually not been effective as the commissioner, and you was trying to, in front of the audience, in front of the police, to build the morals up, but to us as citizens who you're speaking to as well, there are many more of us than you and your government. And like I say, I'm not against you, but I'm standing for what's right. And I say that you still could win the general election, but you're going to have to do the right thing, investing in people and making some tough decisions. Other than that, sir, people are just going to judge you, not on the good you do. They're going to judge you on the bad decision that has happened in the administration. I support, but like I said, I would not support some of the bad decision, and then you're coming back trying to sweeten the pot and defend wickedness and wrong. No. Can't stand for that, but you could get it right. We can take this next call. Go ahead, caller.
Hey, Scrooge, good evening and Happy New Year.
Yes,
to
sir.
You.
I'm fine.
It's good to see you on this side of Jordan, and so am I.
Yes, sir.
Okay. Scrooge, the previous caller, not the previous caller, the caller before Bremen.
Yes, sir.
I think somewhere along the line mentioned about the numerous trips that the Prime Minister takes on behalf of this country, even if he's invited to these places. There's two things in play that we have to acknowledge here. First and foremost, if the Prime Minister is invited anywhere, typically speaking, that person who's doing the invitation would pick up the cost mm-hmm. for that trip, especially if it's an official trip. The government should not be paying for
that's
that
right.
trip.
I agree.
Okay, so that's something we have to look at. The second part of it is, even if that trip is picked up by that head of state or whomever, then we also got to look at the aspect that even if the government was to pick up a part of that, we also have to take into consideration that there's some kind of mutual benefit for both parties. It simply means that even if the Prime Minister is invited, in my humble view, to visit somewhere on official business for the Bahamas, then it means that there has to be some mutual benefit for the host nation to want to invite our prime minister or our heads of state there. And this is where the concessions or the other things, sometimes unbeknownst to the Bahamian people, are negotiated and given away. These things, we are asking about transparency and accountability in this country, which seems to be very elusive to a lot of people in this country. We, are, as Bahamians, are not asleep as our as perhaps our grandfathers and grandmothers and our great-great-grandfathers and great-great-grandmothers would have been. We are very much attuned to what's going on in this country, and we simply ask our government to be open, honest, and transparent in all of their dealings, when especially as it refers to the best interests of this country and our people. And that is not happening. This is why the people are in an uproar, because we feel as if our voices are not heard. They're hearing us, but they're not listening. And two, the best interests for the Bahamian people are not advanced to the Bahamian people, because we are not feeling it on the ground.
Yes.
All of these trips this current administration has done, the question is constantly asked, where are the benefits
of the travel,
short and immediate,
of the travel
that the Bahamian people have felt thus far? We have not felt them. And this is why that question will keep on lingering in the air.
Yes,
it does not matter with rhetoric, the prime minister, the chairman of the current party, the foreign affairs minister, or whatever says.
Not in our mind.
We want to see the physical evidence the ground.
That's
where
right.
The average life Bahamian family
That's
on
improved.
The ground is financially comfortable, because this is where now the rubber hits the road. If we can't live comfortably in this country because of the lack of finances, then it means that your administration is doing a lackluster job.
That's right. That's failed.
The people, we are not living comfortably in this country. You cannot tax your way out of this crisis. It's a push and pull in terms of, if we pay the taxes, we should see the benefits or receive the benefits of what we're paying our taxes for.
That's
you know how good it is, in closing, Scrooge, that if for instance, all of these fees we're paying to keep our cars on the road, paying insurance and stuff, that we could at least have proper roads to drive our cars on.
I agree.
Proper signage all over the place, so we would know when speed bumps are in the road, where they are, that the speed bumps are painted white to show us that the speed bump is there, to show that the traffic lights are working properly, and so on and so forth. We don't see these things here. Mm. When the people knock down the traffic light or knock down the sign, the insurance company that insures that car should pick up the cost to replace the sign.
Yes, yes, yes. You're correct.
You see, these are the progressive things we're talking about. It is not happening. We get a lot of rhetoric, but the things that we want to feel on the ground for the taxes we pay in this country, we are not seeing it.
Mm.
And so it goes from one administration
to
the next administration.
Yes.
We need a set of people in closing that's going to go into our parliament. If we have to enforce the laws are enforced straight across the board, regardless of who it is. If it's the prime minister who has committed a crime, he should be locked up. If it's the foreign minister, he should be locked up. If it's an MP, he should be locked up. If it's someone in high office, in civil service, they should be locked up. It should be straight across the board, no exceptions.
Thank you.
And that's what we, the Bahamian people, want to see. But you're locking up the small man. But we see all these things. We don't have to be stupid.
Yes.
We know what's going on in this country. We see these things happening, but because you don't have no tangible physical evidence, but by discernment, you could say you can't lock them up.
That's why
society is the way how
it
is. But thanks for taking my call.
Thank you very much. You did a fantastic job. To all the callers as well. Sorry we completely out of time. Callers, I see the phone line lighting up, but I'm sorry. We don't have no more time. I wish I had some more time. So I'm really, really sorry, guys, to that particular caller. And I'm closing. I want to say my name is Valentin O'Brien, host of the talk show Inside the Inner City, Scoochie or Scrooge, MP or JP. I'm your host of the talk show Inside the Inner City that premieres every Friday at 6:30 to 8 p.m. We talk about national issues. We talk about solutions. And most importantly, we like how you guys who call in, you all make good sense. And we also let the government know and the powers to be that we as citizens have a voice, and we're using this platform to express ourselves, just like the last caller just stated just now. We can see you could go after the small man, but when you go to the big people, you're turning a blind eye. You understand? And closing on this, I'd like to say to all the churches that you all say you all praise God. You all have these funerals to some of the teachers in the schools and stuff like that. We need to apply some etiquette classes and dress code classes. And to these pastors. Pastors, I know you guys will be seeing plenty panties in the front line in the church, okay? You can't be afraid
put on the church door. If that's the funeral or the church, please tell your daughter. Tell your daughter, please, don't come to church sharing your panty line or your dress below your knees. Because when you sit down, you're sharing all your crutch. And the pastor who up there on all these churches, you know, they're watching down on the podium and, you know, they're preaching. But, you know, you understand? All right? And parents also, dress, teach your daughters how to dress more appropriately, okay? It's nothing wrong with speaking out, because some of our ladies are dressed too vulgar, and they're beautiful, you know, and we want them to have a wonderful future so that they can pick a good man who is going to be able to respect them, not someone who you're beautiful and you wonder why you can't have one guy to be a boyfriend. You wonder why you're in multiple relationships, and the same way with a guy. So I want to close in on that. And pass this again. Have a dress code. Okay? And to all the good officers on the Royal Bahamas Police Force, I want to congratulate you guys and keep up the good fight. Your time is coming now to be recognized. I want to give a shout out to my friend Graham and his wife Cookie. And thanks, everyone, for listening to Inside the Inner City of Guardian Radio. Thank you very much, and I'll see you next week, if God spare life. Happy New Year, everyone.
Up and running, Caliban say my show boy don't ever give in. 7 years of farming, watch the crops them coming. Today see a humble thing, the lion sleeping. But they ain't for no reason, reason. Only God that I believe in, living. Watch them only pass for a season, season. Cutless, I gotta weed them, weed them.